Hey, it's the V-Spot, your vulnerable space to grow. I am Vessel.
And I'm Camille Veronica.
And it is Tuesday, a beautiful day it is. This is our Tuesday segment where we really try to focus on the nucleus of the family, bringing some highly anticipated vulnerable conversations to the front line just for you, my listeners, and for us. We're really for us and then for you. So how you feeling over there?
I am great, thank you for asking. And yourself, my dear friend?
I'm well, drinking me some hibiscus tea. The aroma of this tea just really makes you want to drink more. It just really extends itself to a great space. I get a good feeling when I smell that tea. And what I do is I take those instant, well, they're called Mr. Coffees, but they might as well be called Mr. Teas for me because I'm eating. But I do that and I put the water in there and then I just put the tea bags inside the glass portion where the water drips. And so as the water is dripping into the glass area, it's, you know, the tea bags are getting wet and, you know, it's becoming so like the big cup type of thing. And I think that changes versus what I was doing previously was putting the tea bags inside the cup.
Right.
And pouring the hot water inside the cup, right, with the tea bags. So this is a little bit different. I've been doing.
Hold on. You're using your coffee maker, though.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And so instead of putting the tea bags in the space where you would put the coffee, you are putting it in the actual
bottom part.
The pot. The craft. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I put nothing in that coffee area. In fact, I take that out. So all that's coming in out of there is water. So then the water, then while it's sitting on that, in that coffee area, you know, there's a little hot plate there. So it kind of keeps it. And so I let it sit there for a while. So it really gets it in there. And it fumigates the entire space, you know. Really, yeah, it's really good. So yes, I had a really, really wonderful extended 3-day. I don't know if I should call it a vacation because I think we've been on the most extended vacation that COVID has given us a lot of vacation time. I had a day where I did get a chance to spend more time on the beach. And I was observing a lot of families, a lot of families interacting on the beach. You know, there's a requirement that you must wear a mask on the beach here in Miami. But you don't have to wear a bikini. your face better be covered, but the rest of your body, hey. we're not too concerned about that. So I was into, and I was watching families a lot this, you know, this weekend and how they engaged and how so excited many of them. You could see a number of people are traveling. Miami is a tourist destination location. And so I'm starting to see that a lot of people are traveling more, being confident about traveling. That's a good thing, you know, using caution. I'm sure we're seeing more caution used than before. You know, many of us were just sitting in the seats, never looking to see if the screws were really in the seat. But now people are actually paying attention. They're shaking the seat before they actually sit in, you know, so people are actually being a lot more cautious than they have been in the past. But in my observation of the family, it brought up an interesting conversation for me. When you see family beyond just the individuals within your household, when you see family as in extended friends, when you see them as family. And so the power of the extended family, I guess, is what I was, you know, really thinking about, the power of the extended family. I remember growing up, and I'll start it because I guess, you know, it's one of those things that for me growing up, we had a lot of cousins. We had a lot of uncles. We had a lot of nieces, you know, sisters. And quite frankly, we all are related, you know, in some level of, you know, bloodline. We are all related. I just remember growing up and understanding certain people to be that close to me that they got that title. And I never let go of it as an adult. And so I would always lend myself to giving information as relates to, oh, that's my cousin, or introductions as to, oh, that's my aunt, or that's my great aunt. And, you know, in the lineage, you know, pattern, they may not be, right? But the impact that they had on my life was of such of that nature that they earned that, not even earn that title, but they really lived that title for me. And I was observing that on the beach when I got into a conversation with some of the guests that were, you know, around me. And I noticed, you know, there were some complexities in outer appearance. Mm-hmm. And I heard these kids calling this black man uncle. Clearly, all the rest of the quote unquote nucleus of that family did not resemble this black man, mm-hmm. In the uncle category. And I found out that the husband had gone to school with this guy and played ball with him. And their families had, and so the black guy's family was there as well. She was married to she could be white or she could be of some other nationality, fair skin. And they, you know, they were really engaged. And so it started us having a conversation about how important this black man has been, especially during this time with their all white, predominantly white nucleus family, and hosting conversations that are very challenging. So I engaged them, of course, on the V-Spot because mm-hmm. we cover a lot of that. And I found it very inviting to also bring that to this platform. And I hope they're listening. Shout out to both couples. You know who you are. For taking an opportunity to engage a little single little guy like me sitting on the beach half naked. with shorts on. Oh, this is our Tuesday session. And just the power of understanding the extended family and who you allow to have that role and responsibility in your life and how they can create such a very valuable meaning at any given moment. And it's beyond just the racial, ethnic divide that the society has conquered or has attempted to conquer over our minds. I wanted to draw that to the space. How do you have a vast extended family currently today. You have all the tribe of Israel. And some
of the Egyptians came over too.
Yeah, all of them.
All of them, the
Moroccans.
Pharaoh and them. All of them was over there.
All of them came into play on this one. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. there is I don't know if that's really anything new for us as African brown black people.
Mm-hmm.
For these guys, they were college, like I said, they engaged at college level, which does happen. You know, mm-hmm. some of your most profound and strongest relationships really happen in high school, college. You know, those are two pivotal times because you're growing and developing of who you are and what you like and how you like to be centered. And those people also have access to your privacy, your private growth. Then, you know, they've seen you, you know, they have a real good understanding of the developed person that many people are only seeing after the fact. They saw the process of baking the cake, right? Versus just tasting it, you know, or seeing it, you know, out when it's all fine and, you know, looking good. And so that was what he was, you know, he was really hype on, is the fact that for years, and now they've made it a continual responsibility. That was the other thing. Man, I loved it. they made it a continued responsibility to constantly keep their families intertwined. Now, of course, I'm always extending that, you know, is it to the point where the kids see themselves, you know, in the same light? And absolutely, you know, absolutely saw that same thing, you know, in the kids. When the kids were out, you know, running around and playing, they saw Uncle Joe, Lord, I must, they saw Uncle Joe as, you know, Joe, you know, and that was who he was. You know, I don't suspect the color content came into play until later on. These were older kids. They were in elementary. One was in high school, and the brown guy, the black guy, actually has a kid in college now who's going to their alma mater, both of their alma mater. Yeah. What's your thoughts?
Well, you know, interesting you should ask me that, because it seems as if I would need to answer you.
Yup.
In order to keep this thing going, right? It's kind of how this works. Yeah. Well, you know, when you said the power of the extended family, there was a part of me that was like, I think I would add in the necessity of the extended family. And not so much speaking from the refugees that are camped around my house. We're not going to talk about that. Lord knows. We ain't going to talk about that. The interlopers all up in my refrigerator. But I think about the fact that I definitely grew up with this concept of an extended family, so much so that there was a certain point, you know, I really didn't know that these folks weren't really related to me. Now, here's the difference, though. I don't recall anyone who wasn't of the same color. Now, mind you, some of these folks came from different places, but we were all black folks. As far, I don't really remember anyone. And that partly my parents were old enough that while they were friendly with white folks or any other ethnic folk, for that matter, it just wasn't really how they were socialized. So it wasn't likely that we were going to have a lot of, a lot of engagement. I can remember the few number of white folks who came to our house, and they were usually providing a service of some sort, like the man that would bring apples, fresh apples, every fall. He came in just for that purpose. I mean, he chit-chatted while he exchanged his money, but in his goods and services. But, you know, like, there wasn't anybody that I could say, like, somebody outside of our grouping. So, but the fact is,
that's part of, you know, to cut off into that, to just slice into that time frame where that's segregation, right? So I just see why that would be.
Right.
Because it was hard pressed. For segregation.
Yeah, and I think also it speaks a lot to the ability to define who your extended family is. I mean, that's the thing that we always have to remember, is that we define who is extended and who isn't. And in that, I think we have an obligation to vet who comes in and who doesn't. I mean, like, I know some of us come from cultures and traditions where anyone older than us is auntie and uncle, but truthfully, in terms of who's there's that title that we give people, but then there's the people who really are part of the extension. And so we choose that, and I think my parents did a great job of people that they chose, because actually in the end, you still grow up calling them, like I still call my aunts and uncles who are not blood my aunts, I still call them by their names like that way. I still say, you know, Aunt Rosemary, because that's who she is. She's not, you know, even though at some point or another, I had to recognize that her sons really weren't my blood cousins, but you can't tell us that on the street, you know.
Right, right.
Even though their grandmother was trying to warn us, like, y'all keep calling each other cousins. Y'all can't marry each other if y'all cousins.
Right.
Bless her heart, you know. But there's a necessity of extended family. There's a priority of extended family in terms of how, as we migrate and move around more and more, we are away from the actual blood nucleus. So you've got to create new communities. And again, yes. In that, it's a choice. You know, it's a choice to have who you have coming in, which is also why we have to be super selective.
Yes. Again,
we're vetting people, really, yep. You know. And then also, I think it's important for us to explain to our children at some point, and your children will indicate to you when they're ready to know who these people really are, because somehow or another, they're going to sit there and try to figure out. And I remember asking my mother, well, wait a minute, how's Aunt Largene your aunt? If aunts are people who are your brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. and Uncle Vic and Uncle Charlie, I know they're your brothers, mm-hmm. but I don't know how Aunt Largene fits in. You know, mm-hmm. because I wanted to know how this magical woman was my mother's sister. Mm-hmm. And my mother broke it down in, you know, one of her, you know, academic ways that was really smooth and, you know, Black Power kind of thing without me even knowing it was Black Power at the time. Mm-hmm. But just in a way that was kind of like, yo, you know what? We live well together. We're close to each other. This is my sister in a way. And no, my parents did not have her as, you know, a blood sister, but this is how close I feel to her. Oh, okay. So people that you're close to, that's who we're called. Okay, I get this. And I think you have to, yeah. at some point or another, when your children ask for it, you have to explain it so they understand this is how we define family. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. And you need that, especially when we are isolated from, or when we choose to move away from our, you know, our blood family. You know, if we're not, if our home is not intergenerational, and you know, grandmommy lives 2,000 miles away or 400 miles away, who then becomes your surrogate, you know, grandmommy? Who are you? And it also helps children to learn to check in on folks. You know, I think especially things that COVID has done, hopefully has forced people to keep up communications with people who, you know, have an impact on their lives and really are considered the extended part of the family. I think it's a necessity, definitely. I mean, for survival, for real survival and growth. And also, kudos to those who are capable of having other cultures and religions,
and
all these things because that exposure
Religion.
Is mm-hmm. like, you can't get that out of a book. You know, you can't go on YouTube and get that. You got to experience that. And even down to if you are within your own grouping, like learning differences within your own groupings, you know, to say, okay, we from the South, you from the North, you know, and right now I always think that that's kind of mishmash because we have so much access to people now that, you know, things aren't a mystery the way they were before. To me, the way things were beforehand, we would discover something. Well, now everything's just kind of out there, but still taking time to find out where people come from and how they got to the thoughts that they have and why they do things a certain way. And you see people as valuable human beings in the process of your family growing.
And I also feel it helps to mm-hmm. really diversify the impact on your growth. You know, I remember my cousin having a friend who I later found out they were actually together. But this white guy, very openly part of the gay and lesbian community. But he gave me a very understanding, like, of, well, wait a minute, I can't hate this group of people mm-hmm. because this, I like this mm-hmm. guy. I mm-hmm. think this guy's so cool. Like, he is so funny, you know, and so it makes you question how you categorize every single body in that space. That was the other part mm-hmm. of that conversation we got into, which they were like, dude, you really don't mind. No, mm-hmm. I don't mind talking about it. I really feel like it's important because it helps these, you know, I'm sure it helps your kids say, listen, before I go treating all Black people or saying all Black people are this or all Black people are that, I got a good friend mm-hmm. over here. My uncle's over here. My best friend's, you know, is Black, and I don't get that from them. And I mean, you got to be careful because then you do mm-hmm. get into some, oh, but you're different. You know, I've gotten that, you know, a couple of times. But for the most part, it does help you to get a better understanding. And then, of course, you mm-hmm. don't hang it on, well, I have Black friends, you know, that don't, you know, oh, I have chicken in my refrigerator. So you have chicken in your refrigerator. What is that? That doesn't mean you know how to cook.
You got chicken in the refrigerator.
You know, so I think we got to be also careful of that extended connection that we have to, you know, not assume that that automatically disqualifies us from being a particular type of white. Because if you don't embrace it, you will remain that way. I have, you know, members from the Baha'i faith, the members of the Nation of Islam, which is very different from the Orthodox Muslim practice. There are some similar practices, but principles are always not aligned. From the Orthodox to the Nation. I have, you know, Christians, I have Judaists and Buddhists, you know, my dad being, you know, and me practicing in the SGI, you know, practice or principles of Buddhist, Kofu Annan. So, yeah, I think it's really, really good that you think about it. If you don't already, and this is to our listeners, if you don't already understand the importance or the necessity, as you've just said, of an extended family, just really look around you and see who you are. Birds of a feather flock together, but they also flock together because they're going in a direction that helps to get you there safer, sometimes faster. Aerodynamics, it changes, you know, what you can accomplish with multiple versus what you challenge with one individual. And so, yeah, I want all of our listeners to consider that and embracing them. Yes, this may extend your Christmas list. If you're one of the people that feel like you got to extend that, I mean, I got to give more gifts. Well, yeah, maybe, I don't know. More birthdays. Yeah, maybe, I don't know. You know, if that's what you, if that's what you are, but I assure you, not worrying about that and really focusing on the value that an extended person that's outside of the quote unquote bloodline, which is very hard to decipher. But again, the bloodline of your immediate family is essential, and embracing that, knowing that these are lifelong relationships. I miss anything? I think we did good. This is a great way to start that conversation. This has been the V-Spot, your incredible space to grow. I'm Vessel. And we're super delighted you decided to stop by and listen to the V-Spot. Have a great one.
You've been listening to the V-Spot, your vulnerable space to grow with Vessel and Camille Veronica. We appreciate you listening and hope you'll follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You'll find us at the V-Spot Radio. If you want to send us an email, email us at vspotradio@gmail.com. We love to hear from you and we love your feedback. Please let us know of topics that you're interested in hearing from us. Thank you.